Psalm 122. Says, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There the thrones for judgment stand and the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. Autumn or the fall tends to be a great time to talk about new starts. You know, we're reminded of new starts as our children begin school. I know for some of us guys, the autumn and the fall means the start of a new football season. I'm sure that some of y'all caught some football yesterday. The Buckeyes won and the Bobcats won. I know we got several Ohio alum here. Notre Dame won. Michigan. Well, this is the start of football season, and I'm sorry. They are preparing to learn new things. Our children are at school. They're preparing to meet new friends and complete new adventures. I want us to entertain the thought of a new start this morning as we consider a four-week series entitled Ignite. I want us to take our cue from the simple definition for Ignite. This definition that says to catch fire. Some of you might remember the game NBA Jam. It was a game where you played 2-on-2 using NBA basketball players. And in the game, if one player made several consecutive shots, the announcer would say he's heating up. After the third consecutive shot, the announcer would say he's on fire. And after that shot and every shot, when you shot a shot, it would go in the hoop and it would burn up. Now, you wanted to be on fire because that meant you were unstoppable. If you're a Christian, just think back to the moment where you were baptized into Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I was on fire. I remember I couldn't wait to tell people about what had just happened with me. I couldn't wait to study my Bible. I couldn't wait to go to church. I couldn't wait to tell people about my newfound life in Jesus Christ. I couldn't wait to get to the church and do things and be with people and see people and worship with people. And I went to church all the time. I went Sunday morning for Sunday school, Sunday morning for worship. We had Sunday morning 5 o'clock training class. We had Sunday evening worship. I went to Monday night new convert class, Wednesday night Bible class, Friday night youth meeting, and then we did it all over again. I was at church all the time, and I have to tell you, in the beginning, I was glad. There's a reason that Psalm 122 has resonated with the people of God for centuries. There's a sense of excitement and exuberance that accompanies us when it comes to the worship event. In the first verse of Psalm 122, our English renders this phrase, I rejoiced, or in some translations, I was glad. And it comes from the Hebrew word for joy. The psalmist puts joy or excitement on equal footing with attending the temple or the house of God. It is likely that the psalmist is referring to trips where he and his family went up to Jerusalem to celebrate one of the annual festivals. These were pilgrim songs. They were songs that were sung as they were en route to Jerusalem to celebrate festivals like Passover or Pentecost. The very thought of approaching God's house gave them goosebumps. They couldn't wait to get to the house of God. There were several reasons to come to the house of God, and several reasons why there was excitement to come to the house of God. At the very top of the list, they came to the house of God to celebrate God or Jehovah. These festivals, perhaps it was the Passover or the Pentecost festival that they were celebrating, were to recognize Jehovah for saving them and preserving their people. They celebrated God for rescuing them from the Egyptians. They celebrated God for providing for them in the desert and for delivering to them their promised land. Don't you know that we should be glad to come to worship God because he has done great things? Do you believe that, church? He has done marvelous things. Do you believe that, church? He has done things we could not, cannot, and will never be able to do ourselves. Whether you want to call it going to church, attending worship service, or fellowshipping with the saints, it is a cause for joy, anticipation, and excitement. It is an event that has the power to ignite within us a fire and get us going. Another reason to come to the house of God is that he is king. He is on the throne seat of heaven and earth, and more importantly, he sits on the throne seat in our hearts. Psalm 122, 3 and 5 again says, Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up and the tribes of the Lord to praise the name of the Lord according to the statutes given to Israel. There the throne for judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David. Because God is the supreme and omnipotent ruler in our lives, his rulership demands our presence at his house for worship and adoration. It is a place for all tribes and all peoples to come together. No culture or race is excluded. His reign is inclusive. And I'm glad that God has the rule in my life and not money. I'm glad that God has the rule in my life and not my employers. I'm glad that God has the rule in our lives and not our circumstances. And knowing that God has rule is what releases us to be free to worship in the house of God. At the house of worship, we are reminded of God's powerful presence and rule. This reminder can ignite us and we'll start to heat up. Another reason to come to the house of God is because we have been invited to participate with, and hold on for this, we have been invited to participate with one another. Psalm 122 and in verse number 1, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go. Let us go means we are going together. Let us go means two or more. Let us go means I'm not like Eric Carmen, you know, all by myself. When we are together, we draw from the collective experiences of one another. At the house of God, we may find ourselves mourning with others. We may find ourselves laughing with others. We may find ourselves singing with others. We may find ourselves with peace with others. So I'm glad that the psalmist who said it best, I was gold when they said to me, let's go. I was glad when they said to me, let's go. Knowing that the house of God would not sit empty is something that ignites in me a passion for God and others that can move us to the on fire status. I get on fire when I think about the idea of gathering with brothers and sisters. Ask Chrissy, I can't sleep on Saturday nights because I can't wait to get here to see y'all and talk about you. Deborah is coming. There is benefit and blessing associated with the collective experience of going to the house of God for worship. And I suspect that many of us at one point or another approach the worship event with some type of enthusiasm. It may have been that our conversion to Jesus Christ was that spark that ignited a flame within us, like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, who the text says after he was baptized, after they arose up, Philip disappeared, but the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Maybe that was the spark that created this on fire status in our lives. But I also suspect, because I've experienced it, that over time our enthusiasm wanes and decreases to the state where instead of saying, I was glad to go to church, we start saying things like, I gotta go to church. The enthusiastic tone that once emitted from our souls has now been decreased or diminished. And the fire that once burned bright had either gone out or is in danger of being extinguished. Why is this? Why does the fire go out or starts to fade away? Take, for instance, the church in Ephesus. It was a church that was started by the Apostle Paul. It was the church that Timothy was serving as evangelist. It was the recipient of many letters and visits from Paul. It was the church that at its inception displayed a fervor and fire within that spread quickly and rapidly. We recall the story of the start of the Ephesian church from Acts chapter 19. Here's a portion of that text, Acts 19, starting at verse number 17. It says, when this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Do you see that, church? They fell in love with Jesus, and the fire within made it on the outside, where they literally begin to burn with fire that which represented their former life. They brought all their magic books, all their sorcery books, all that stuff that was associated with evil. The fire within them caused them to bring that stuff to the town square and to set that stuff on fire. Now fast forward a few decades and hear what was written about the church by the Apostle John when he was exiled on Patmos. This is Revelation chapter 2, starting at verse number 1. This church that was on fire, the Ephesian gathering of saints, where Paul was there, and they set ablaze their sin because they were ablaze in Jesus Christ. Here, a few decades later, 30, 40 years later, here is what the Apostle John wrote to this church. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles, but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and you have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from this place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Did you hear that? Verse number 4. They left their first love. For some reason, we lose that passion burning within us because we forgot what it was all about in the beginning. I've often compared our spiritual journeys to the spiritual journey of the Israelites as they left Egypt. Remember when they crossed the Red Sea and they saw their pursuers drowned in that same sea that they had just walked through? Remember the celebration on the other side? Remember the song of Moses? Remember Miriam and all the women and dancers were celebrating, and they were just so happy and so glad and so overcome with joy because they had saw the mighty hand of God work in their favor. But as they got further away from the Red Sea miracle, they began to forget. They began to grumble. It got so bad that they, at one point, wanted to go back and be slaves in Egypt. What I'm asking you this morning is to remember your first love. Remember what it meant when you first came into contact with the blood of Jesus. Do you remember? Do you remember how it felt to be a disciple of Jesus Christ in the beginning? Do you remember the joy you felt? Do you remember how you felt when you first confessed Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life? Do you remember what it felt like after you arose out of the baptism waters? Do you remember what it was like that first week or that first month or the first year of your Christian life? Do you remember how you didn't stop telling people about your new life? I guess what I'm asking us to do this morning is to remember our first love. And to be bold enough in this house of God to say, Father, ignite in us a blaze that will burn feverishly, not just in the house of God, not just at the place where we gather for worship, but in our homes, in our schools, on our job sites, in our communities, in this country, and church in this world. You know, at some point we need to believe that we have a power working in us, setting us on fire, that we will literally turn this world upside down. It's time for us to stop thinking small and time for us to start thinking big. So God, we are asking you today to start a fire and begin with me. I would ask you to say the same thing. God, start a fire, but start with me. God, if you so choose, use me to ignite a fire around me. Remember, the definition of ignite is to catch fire or to cause to catch fire. So church, will you be bold enough in this house of God to ask him to start a fire in you? And when this fire is burning, we will find ourselves repeating the words of the psalmist when he says, I was glad. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of God, house of the Lord. When this fire is burning, church, we stop saying, I got to go to church, and we start to say, I get to go to church. When this fire is burning, we will look with anticipatory hearts and eyes the worship event wherever it takes place. See, Psalm 122, along with all the Psalms from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, was called a song of ascent. They were songs that were sung when travelers went up to Jerusalem because it was the capital and it was the location of the temple. And so these songs of ascent were sung again as they traveled toward the place of Jerusalem. But we know that the temple cannot hold the presence of God. We know that God's presence is where he is and where he is holy. We do not need to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. His presence is right here and right now. Now go out in the parking lot and guess what? God's presence is there too. Now go home and guess what? God's presence is there. Now go to the big house in Michigan. Now, I know some of y'all don't want to believe it, but God's presence is there too. He is here in this place, and he is everywhere. So church, I'm glad, not just when I walk through these doors, but all the time, because I have all the opportunity to enter into his presence. Can we be bold in this place and say to God, ignite in me a fire that will never burn out? And if the flames get low, God, rekindle this fire, or refine me with your fire. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 16 says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. This has been an interesting year regarding preaching for me. Some of you know that I like to plan as best as I can sermon series all the way out. There have been years where I've planned a year's worth of sermons in the year prior. And because we've been doing some different things this year, past couple years, it's been a little more difficult. I've had to change some sermon topics and do some things and be creative. So what that meant is that literally last week, I was wrecking my brain trying to come up with what to preach about over the next several weeks. And God did something. God sent this church a family, the Townsend family. I think I shared last week that the Townsend family, Deborah, Charles, Sierra, visited here several years ago. I want to say 6 or 7 years ago. And got to know us back then. And they left, went back to Texas. Got an email back, I think, in April or May. They said, hey, they're moving to the area, looking forward to coming back and rekindling the friendship that we have. And I have to be honest, when I got the email, I'm trying to think to myself, who is that? I can't wait to see them. They visited, came and visited the weekend we were out of town. We were in Rhode Island. I heard that they visited. And then when I saw them, it clicked. I remember. And Deborah comes up to my wife. Hey, Christy, all your girls gotten so big. She's calling out names, church. Calling out names. She remember all these names. What was cool is I walked in that next Sunday morning after y'all had just visited that first Sunday and people were in here for Bible class. And who did I see in here? Deborah going to everybody. I mean everybody. Giving them a hug. Talking about welcome. I'm like, hold up. This ain't your church yet. But she came in here with a fire. A fire that I have to say, it was a blessing to me and it encouraged me. And I want you to know that the idea of this sermon series came from you being on fire. I'm going to say this now. I don't want to put a lot of pressure on you, but don't let that fire burn out. And let me tell you something about fire. When we're on fire, it's catchy. What would happen if we had a church full of Debras? We'd all be knocking arms trying to hug each other. I know. Yeah. It's not just the hugs. I hear things like, you're beautiful. She came up to me this morning. I met your beautiful mom. Church, will we be bold enough in this place to ask God to rekindle the fire that's within us, that fire might burn bright, that we would catch fire and that we would cause others to catch fire? What would happen in this church? What would happen in Reynoldsburg? What would happen in Columbus? What would happen in Ohio? What would happen in this country? And what would happen in this world if we were bold enough today to say, Lord, start a fire in me? And maybe you're on fire. I'm going to encourage you like I just encouraged Deborah. Don't let that fire burn out. But if the flames get low, you understand that we have a God, we serve a God that is powerful enough to rekindle that fire and to make that little flame a raging fire. That's the God we believe in. And it's okay to pray bold things. It's okay to pray things that are big. Let's think big. God, I don't want this little flame that gives off a little heat and a little light. I want to be a raging fire. And I want to be one that has the ability through your Holy Spirit that others might catch that fire. We could turn this world upside down if we think big enough. That's all I have as we start this series. Again, I ask you to journey with me as we look at a fire and ignite over the next several weeks. As we sing this next song, if there's something that the church can do for you, praying for you, if you want to share something with the body that you think is pertinent and something that's been on your heart, something that you're struggling with and you want us to pray for you, we want to give you that opportunity. If you're not a Christian, you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ, you've been thinking about that, you've been studying about what it means to become a disciple of Christ and you want to make some steps toward that way and you've made a decision, I'm going to I want God to turn my life around, I'm going to turn away from my past life, I'm going to walk towards you, you want to make a public profession of faith and you want to be buried with him in baptism, we will love to provide that ministry for you. Church, I want to encourage you to be bold enough in this place to ask God to rekindle a fire or start a fire or build the fire that's already blazing. And I pray that this song would be a reminder of that, that God's fire is that which sparks us and that grow in us. And let's be bold enough to ask this powerful God to do that very thing. So Justin, if you come and lead us in this song, let's stand up and let's sing.